Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, is LeBron James sending out more signals to Rob Pelinka that he's not going anywhere and the Lakers should do something? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always free. It's never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube, 11,000 subscribers strong. That is the community, the fastest growing Lakers community out there, filled with great and respectful and fun commenters that love talking Lakers basketball. They talk to you, each other. They talk to us. Be a part of that community. Subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube, and then go ahead and make another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day.
I mean, look, let you know that compared to us, Brian, they could use the help.
Yeah, that is fair. Except for Josh Lloyd, does the basketball show. He doesn't need anybody's help.
No, screw that guy.
Yeah. In fact, stop listening. Don't do that. Cut him down a size.
It's a great show. He doesn't need your help. That's all we're saying. Right. His numbers are gigantic. A little bit of inside baseball for the Locked On Network, but Josh Lloyd basically runs an empire.
So he bosses David Locke around. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Lakers in Indiana tonight to play the Pacers, a game that maybe a couple days ago looked like it was going to be ripe, one ready for the picking for the Lakers. The Pacers have been slumping, but Andy, Tyrese Haliburton, their outstanding all-star caliber point guard, is expected, I believe, to play in this game, or at least give it a role Thursday night. So that changes the dynamic considerably. The Pacers with Haliburton in the lineup were really good. And so the presumption is that with Haliburton in the lineup again, they will also be really good. So Lakers do catch a break that maybe he won't be in rhythm, but they don't catch a break that he'll be there at all.
This has not been a Lakers season of catching breaks, so why ruin a theme, you know?
So other housekeeping there, Pat Beverly is listed as probable. He, I'm sure, will be suiting up for tonight's game. LeBron James is listed as questionable, which generally speaking has been his designation the day, you know, at least heading into games almost for the entire season, it seems like at this point. And generally speaking, he has been playing. I think if there was a big threat that he wouldn't, we'd probably start hearing whispers of it, Wednesday into Thursday, and haven't seen anything so far. So fingers crossed LeBron plays.
It's really just that Darvin had noted before that foot ankle had been bothering him a lot. And it was the first time Darvin brought this up, other than it goes without saying that a guy who's in his 20th season at age 38 with a billion miles on the odometer, like every game requires a certain amount of, strap it up. But once you actually note that the foot is bothering him, it gives you a little bit more pause.
It does. It makes that questionable actually seem more questionable than just a sort of perfunctory designation. It is also, keep your social media feeds open. It is also Austin Reeves reevaluation day, at least based on the information that the Lakers have been putting out over the last week or so. Austin Reeves has been scheduled to be reevaluated for that hamstring injury on Thursday. And so we'll see how that goes and if the Lakers have any updates ahead of Thursday's game. Good God, Andy, the Lakers really could use his presence back in the lineup.
Yeah, and the last bit of housekeeping too. Saturday's game against the Pelicans in New Orleans, that time has been moved, flexed, however you want to put it. It is now 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. The game's going to be on ESPN2, but as always, The game's going to be on Spectrum Sportsnet as well. All of the games leading up to LeBron breaking the record will remain on Spectrum Sportsnet, as always. So just you just now have more options to watch the game and hopefully a better time for everybody involved.
89 points. LeBron needs 89 points to get there. He will do it. I think the presumption is that it will probably, if you go based on averages, it will happen in one of the next two home games. What is it? It's Oklahoma City and
Milwaukee
being the other one. One of the interesting things, LeBron was asked about breaking Kareem's record after the game in the Garden on Tuesday. And he noted, it's like, do you carry the burden of breaking it? Do you feel pressure? And he said, it's not getting heavier. I'm going to do it. I mean, it's just a matter of time when I'm going to do it. It's not heavy. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be in this league for at least a few more years. So I'm going to do it. It's not heavy at all. Obviously he's correct. You know, he does not need, he's going to break that record. But what stuck out to me was the part again where he is saying, like, look, I'm going to be here for a few more years. He's done that a few times over the course of the season, kind of pointing out, like, I feel good. My body feels good. I am mentally still with it. I enjoy the game, and so on and so forth. He has added to that clarifications about how he wants to play with Bronny on the same court, but not necessarily on the same team. And when you start to put these things together, it indicates to me, obviously he wants to keep playing, but also I think he wants to keep playing without having to move if he need, as a last resort. I've said it all along. I think he wants to be in LA. I think he wants to stay in LA. I think he has no desire to relocate to another franchise to try to chase a ring. And all that says to me is, hey, Rob, I'm good still. I'm still good, and I'm happy to be here for another two or three or four years. Go get me some help at the deadline. Don't be afraid to go get me help.
I don't disagree that LeBron sends out a lot of signals, sometimes passive-aggressive, sometimes so aggressive that he goes out of his way to turn a question on its head so he can make sure that he raises the point that he wants to get out there. And if the latter had happened in this particular case when he brought up playing for a while, then I would agree with you that this was signaling to Rob. This was actually one of the rare times where I think LeBron was just answering a question because there's nothing inorganic at all about what he said there. He was asked about that type of pressure, and he's basically saying, look, sometime between now and at minimum another season that I'm under contract, much less another one that I can opt into or sign a new contract towards, I will break this record, save a career-ending injury between now and the next 89 points. I'm going to break this record. This required so little spin that I actually think that this is one of the rare times where trying to parse LeBron's words is overthinking it and a waste of time.
I don't necessarily think he was signaling necessarily. He said it with the conscious, like, hey, Rob, like, but what I think it is when you put all of these things together, it is like continuing reminders of the fact that he doesn't want that he's going to keep playing. And we've talked about this on a few different shows that he came to LA for very specific reasons.
Absolutely.
None of those reasons have changed in the slightest. Other than, I guess, Bronny could go to college, and so he'd have one less kid in the house. He is 38 years old. His family is comfortable in Los Angeles. There is an infrastructure here to help them deal with all the stuff that comes with being a family member for LeBron James. That is just more developed here than it is in any other city. Absolutely. He doesn't want to be away from his kids.
His businesses.
The businesses are here.
Entertainment industry.
All of it. So to me, I think those are the reasons. And then, oh, by the way, the Lakers play here too.
Yeah.
Those reasons haven't changed. And you know this. I certainly know that. I hate business travel now. I hate it. Part of the reason I hate business travel is I don't like being away from my kids for three, four, 5 days in a row. And so I think that's where he is. He wants to be able to spend half this. He's not moving his family again. He's already said that. And so when I talk about these things stacking up in the signal, it's all within the context of he's also, to me at least, signaled in many different ways that he really doesn't want to leave LA if he's going to keep playing. So please, let's get something done here.
I don't disagree with you at all that he wants to finish up his career as a Laker. And I think all things being equal, he probably thinks he will finish up his career as a Laker. I just disagree that anything he said answering this question had anything to do with that whatsoever. That's all.
I'm just saying you can add it to the evidence pile. He's going to be playing for a long time.
So I would say that's circumstantial evidence at best.
Admissible. Trial, admissible. It's civil court, maybe, not criminal court, but it's admissible. No, just one more clue.
There's no standards in civil court.
All right. So one of the things that could make LeBron happy, Lakers fans happy as the trade deadline approaches, is a trade. The Lakers actually doing something. A few ideas have been tossed out there. A lot of expert opinion on what might be available for the Lakers. So we'll take a look at that, along with, Andy, the progress of Rui Hachimura in his first few games as a Laker. So all that coming up next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel. The Super Bowl is approaching, and we are excited, stoked about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, even better. So listen up. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. And new customers, that's who I was just talking to, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line, the point spreads, player props. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. It's all in an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. So football fans, do not miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
So, Andy, here is one potential idea. This was thrown out there by Bleacher Report as a potential trade idea for the Lakers. And it's not necessarily a blockbuster, and we'll get into why here after I lay out the deal. This is what they're proposing.
It's not sexy.
It's not. It's also a deal that's sort of been kicked around a few times over the course of the year as a potential option for the Lakers. Lakers get Josh Richardson, swingman from San Antonio. They give up Pat Beverly and 2 second-rounders, 2025 and 2027. This would give the Lakers a little bit more shooting. Richardson is a capable floor spreader in that way. I would also give them a little bit more defensive versatility because, as we've seen, they could still use some of that on the wing, even with the addition of Hachimura, even with Reeves coming back. It would not kill them to have one more body who they can, who is a real wing, who they can put out and do that. On the other hand, it's Josh Richardson. It's not a massive needle mover. It's another one of these trades that just kind of clarifies the rotation a little bit, adds optionality, moves guys into different slots that theoretically could be better. What's your thinking first just about literally this idea as a trade?
Well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were making bold predictions. I believe it was a podcast with Second Half predictions, look aheads, that sort of thing. And I made a bold prediction that the Lakers would trade Kendrick Nunn and Lonnie Walker and a second for Josh Richardson. So obviously Kendrick's already been traded, so that part of the equation is off the table. But I had been thinking about Josh Richardson for this team for a while. It's really interesting with Patrick Beverley being a part of all this, because on one hand, unless Russ is going to be moved, and especially with Miles Turner no longer part of that equation, just having been extended in Indiana and there being no expectation that he is extended to get moved before the deadline. I heard Bobby Marks from ESPN talk about how if you want to make the league suspicious about cap circumvention, make that extension, then trade him 10 days later. That is going to get the league up your butt investigating. So
all up in your grill.
Exactly. So like with that in mind, the possibilities with Russ were already pretty limited. This is the guy he'd been linked, or the package he'd been linked to the most. So I'm expecting Russ to stay, which means Beverly becomes much more of a theoretical possibility as the only mid-sized salary they have. He's also, though, somebody that Darvin really likes. And I'm not saying that Darvin has the ability to veto a trade or that type of juice, but, you know, they did give him a deal as long as Pelinka's, and the whole plan was that the two of them would be, you know, hand in glove,
right,
making these sorts of philosophical decisions. So I both think Beverly could get moved and have a hard time picturing it, if that makes sense.
It's funny. I mean, look, on the one hand, I will say the easiest way to keep it from, you know, the situation where you have the Schroeder, Beverly, Westbrook backcourt is to trade one of those three people. And really the only one there that's eligible and able to be done there is Pat Bev. I think if that was the deal on the table, and I think that if that's something that Rob wanted to do, thought it was, I don't think actually that he would stand in the way there. I think the Lakers would be able to pull that off. I think you could certainly, Pat Bev's not one of these, you know, point guards that, you know, is going to be a facility. Austin Reeves can run the offense if you need another body to, you know, another guard to be able to facilitate that way just as well as probably better than Pat Bev can. It would be great to have another swingman, but I think that the interesting part here too is that it is a deal on the margins. Something that is nice to do, could improve the team a little bit, gives them a look at, you know, at somebody who maybe they keep around at a relatively low cost going into next year, but have no commitment to. But it is not even, you know, you're not even getting with a high level role players, like, you know, a Bogdanovich or Buddy Hield or something like that. It's not the kind of trade where the Lakers would be giving up, even considering giving up one of those first round picks. Do you think there's any avenue for that? Because I've been very skeptical throughout most of the season that the market would kind of allow the Lakers to make the type of deal that I think they were pretty sure would be available to them in multiple forms if you'd ask them in October.
I don't know. I mean, you hear from people like Zach Lowe and others who are more dialed into like different teams around the league than we are.
Well, like maybe that, you.
That someone like Bogdanovich is that Detroit really isn't bluffing when they're talking about needing an unprotected first because they're debating keeping him anyway. Like the Pistons want to make some noise next year, make the playoffs next year.
Got a bunch
like
of cap space, a lot of good young players. Cade Cunningham comes back and so on.
Right. And the playoffs for them would be making noise given where they've been over the last decade or so. You know, I mean, if Cade Cunningham hadn't gotten hurt, they'd probably be in the play-in mix this season, if nothing else. And if they're looking to make the playoffs, they need some veteran experience around, not to mention a guy like Bogdanovich, who you can play alongside anybody. So it's just increasingly seeming more and more like it's going to be an oversaturated seller. I don't know if you'd call it an oversaturated buyer's market, oversaturated seller's market. It's just an undersaturated market, maybe. Just there's nothing.
It's interesting. Kevin Pelton made the point that should the Lakers, the question on ESPN, they did one of their roundtables we used to participate in when we were employed there. Should the Lakers invest these two first rounders that they can currently control as part of a deadline deal? And you know, it's the responses ranged from, you know, Windhorst talked about, you know, you have to feel like have something to invest in. And, you know, he was a little more bearish on this group than I think some Lakers fans are, who maybe follow them every day and see how close they are to being 3, 4, 5, 6 games over 500 at this point between games they've kicked away and games that might've been taken from them. Kevin Pelton made the point, though, you should really only use those picks if you think those picks are for a player that's better than somebody you can use $20 million in cap space on. That's about what they're going to have. If you think you can go out and get somebody for $17 or $18 million, $19 million in the free agency market, then it doesn't make sense to use up a pick to get that player now. I thought that was an interesting framing. You could disagree based on then, if you wait, obviously, till the offseason, that player can't help them until next year. But it's an interesting way to think about the value of their picks versus the value of you know, kind of the cap space. Like, is Gary Trent somebody you could maybe make a credible offer to at $20 million a year for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, and is it worth it for Gary Trent? Like, do you consider him a $20 million player that you need? And, you know, it starts getting into a weird area, too, where if basically you use all of your cap space on Rui Hachimura and or the space that would have been Russell Westbrook's contract coming off the books, you essentially use it all on Rui Hachimura and Gary Trent Jr. I still remain a proponent of, if you have the opportunity to try to build next season's team now, do that, which perhaps could be being active on the trade market right now. I just don't know how many trade partners there are going to be. When it comes to the plans the Lakers had with the deadline this year, it's safe to say the rest of the league is not cooperating.
Yeah, they're in a bind. I think this type of deal, I suspect they will do something like this. I think they will find another player to bring in. I think it will help. But I also think it's not going to excite anybody, and it's not going to, I don't think there is a fundamental needle mover out there, because for the same reason that, I mean, I don't think Indiana is going to be in any hurry with Halliburton coming back to dump Buddy Hield. They certainly don't need to. You might see situations where, you know, a team like Utah might trade off a few pieces, you know, like a Mike Conley or something like that, but that's not a player that the Lakers need. You know, maybe Malik Beasley is somebody like, but generally speaking, I just don't see a ton of activity that's going to get people really excited. That doesn't mean, though, they won't be good ideas. And obviously this is stuff we'll keep really close eye on. Let's talk about Rui Hachimura. Plus, Andy, a very special date in Lakers history passed on Wednesday that we did want to note. So we'll do all that when we come back.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you've not signed up for Prize Picks, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer superstar players, bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players and predict whether they will notch more or less than the Prize Picks stats projections, and you can win up to 25 times your money. And Prize Picks offers projections on everything from NFL to women's college basketball, even disc golf. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up, play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. But again, do not forget to use the promo code Locked On at the sign-up for the instant match. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
So on Wednesday, Andy, it was the anniversary of the Lakers acquiring Pau Gasol from Memphis in that shocker of a deal that sent Kwame Brown, then a plump Mark Gasol, over to the Grizzlies and some draft capital. That was one of those trades. I look back at that and say to myself, there's no way that could happen in the same way that it happened then now. Like, that came out of nowhere, as we talk about trades, you know, in a completely different way now than we seem to then.
We talk all the time about how, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis, injury concerns, availability concerns notwithstanding, the two of them are such a great basketball fit together. Mm-hmm. And the first time we saw them play together in the 2019-2020 season debut, it looked like they had been together for 5 seasons. That's the way it was the first time Kobe and Pau played together. If you were looking for the perfect compliment to Kobe Bryant in terms of like skill and basketball IQ, feel for the game, temperament in terms of being a superstar that would be willing to put his ego to the side and be the Robin to the Batman. Also at times be willing to take bleep from Batman. Like that was part of the deal too. Powell was just like a bunch of basketball scientists could not have created somebody better than like Shaq and Kobe were obviously more dominant together, but Kobe and Powell were perfect together.
Do you think Batman ever berated and mocked Robin in the same way that Kobe used to do Powell?
I hope so, because Robin could be really annoying at times.
You ever think Batman told Robin to put on his big boy pants and be the Black Swan and get out there and go fight some crime?
Wow, Powell hated that stuff.
he really did. I mean, he loved Kobe, but like, you know, that stuff really did bother him. But I will say, to Kobe's credit, it often worked. Real quick before we finish up on Rui, I thought this question was intriguing from our friend Travis Stanford on Twitter. He asked us at Travis HB. I wonder if the Lakers would make this trade today, or would they pass because he's not a quote superstar? Back then, he was blamed for all the Grizzlies' playoff failures.
Of course, they'd make this trade.
That's what
I responded to Travis. You know, and we've been interacting with him for years on Twitter. Don't overthink this. Like, if the Lakers have been sitting around twiddling their thumbs in the hopes of landing Zach LaVine, they'd trade for Powell. I mean, you know, Powell in Memphis was as, if not more accomplished than Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal or DeMar DeRozan. Of course they'd make that deal.
Yeah, I just put it out there because I thought, you know, there are probably people who'd be like, no, but as much as I have very little faith in this front office broadly, I think it's pretty clear they would. Let's talk a little bit about Rui Hachimura. Some really good stuff has been put out there. We've seen on Twitter a good post from Alex Regla, for example, does great work at Silver Screen and Roll, breaking down Hachimura on both sides of the ball. He had obviously his best game with the Lakers on Tuesday in New York. Three games in, I'm counting correct?
Four
games in with one start. Your thoughts, Andy, on what you've seen so far?
It's interesting just because it runs counter to his reputation, but with both some degree of the eye test, but also in terms of the numbers, the defense has actually benefited more with Hachimura than the offense. Per Basketball Reference metrics, the opponent effective field goal percentage jumps from 44.8% to 54.3% when Hachimura's off the floor. Like, that's nearly 10%. That's pretty dramatic. And, you know, if you look at his metrics, the starting lineup, granted, it's just 13 minutes, so grain of salt, but they had an 84.6 defensive rating, NBA.com.
Oh, yeah, that pairing, that front line of LeBron and AD, and they did really well. I mean, the numbers lineup coming out of that game were really good.
Well, but also just the three-man lineup of AD, LeBron, and Rui has a 100.0 defensive rating over.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
And, you know, it's only been four games, but his defensive rating is the best of anybody in the rotation at 28 minutes per game. So it's small sample size, but he's been on the court. And you see, too, like, he's really strong. Like, Julius Randle is a bull, and he had difficulties moving Hachimura. Mm-hmm. He does better in a lot of half-court type stuff where he just has basically a straight assignment in front of him. He's just harder to move. He's harder to screen. Like, he's harder to get
mistakes off. The mistakes have been more off the ball. I think you're right. And I think he fits in really well. And it gets to what I was talking about before. Like, when you consider the value of something like a Richardson deal, where the Lakers roster is still so goofy, that when you can slot guys better, when you can have them doing things that they are more suited to, you take, you know, even if you're taking limited players, you know, he's got the highest net rating Hachimura over the last, you know, over his four games with the Lakers than anybody else on the team. So there's something there. When you can do that, I think, you know, obviously you're sort of improving all of your role players. And so, you know, you're helping Anthony Davis, you're helping LeBron, but you're also helping the other guys. because you are not asking them to do as many things that they shouldn't be asked to do. And so, you know, I think Hachimura does that purely by, just for starters, by being a guy who is somebody that they flat out did not have before, a really large human who can, you know, moves his feet reasonably well. He's certainly very athletic. We saw the block in Tuesday's game, you know, that was initially called a goaltend. You know, the athleticism that it took to reach that ball at its apex. You know, he has, you know, some trouble with, you know, direct line drives and straight, you know, moving his feet against, but overall, you know, you see the athleticism is there. You see up and down the floor, certainly in transition, it's there. And he's also able to create a shot in ways that they couldn't do on the wing before. All of this says to me, if you can find another guy who can add coherence to your rotation, especially if that price is really low, it's worth doing and might have, I think, Andy, a little bit of an outsized impact relative to the player that they're acquiring. Because it's not just what that guy will do, it's what other guys won't have to do.
Yeah, he is in a lot of ways to me, if you're looking to make a comp, he's kind of like a blend between what Kuzma brought and what Markieff Morris brought during the championship season, like a meld of them together. Like, he's not as good defensively as Morris. I don't think he's as good offensively as Kuzma.
I don't think he's as good defensively as Kuzma either. But
sure, fair enough. But he's able to serve a role that is very similar to what both of those guys brought to the table. And this has just been a team that spent a lot of this season just getting killed in terms of physicality and size. Like, certain things that I don't care how hard Patrick Beverley competes, I don't care how hard Lonnie Walker competes, even a guy like Austin Reeves, how hard he competes, Troy Brown, like, there's certain elements of physicality those guys can't bring that Rui can. I hope that Darvin Ham, assuming LeBron plays, I hope Darvin Ham sticks with that starting lineup of Schroeder, Brown, Rui, LeBron, AD that we saw against the Knicks. I'm not 100% confident that he will, but I hope that he does.
Yeah, I actually think Hachimura could stay in the starting lineup, and I think he'll start the two guards, the traditional two guards, and Troy will sit. But that's my prediction for Thursday night. Just last thing on Rui, I think the other thing about what you're talking about, even when you're talking about the bigs, he can do things size-wise that allow him to be on the floor minutes you might give Wenyen Gabriel. Again, I think Wenyen's a little more of an active defender in some ways, foul-prone and all that. But what Rui can do that Wenyen can't is not limit your offense. And so it just slots guys in ways.
I would like to find more minutes for Wenyen. I don't know where they are, but I don't know where they are.
Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. Obviously, huge game in Indiana on Thursday, followed by another big one on Saturday against a slumping Pelicans team, a team that the Lakers are chasing and have gotten awfully close to in the standings. So those games are even doubly important. So it would be really nice for the Lakers to take both of these games to finish off the road trip. They've tended to respond in these moments pretty well. So we'll see how it goes in Indiana with Halliburton back in the lineup. We'll see everybody on Friday.